Hello and welcome to the world-famous Driving You Crazy podcast. This is the show where we talk about all things transportation, anything that gets you from here to there. I'm the traffic anchor and the transportation reporter for Denver 7 News, Jason Luber. If you would like to get a hold of me, you sure can on any of my contact links. The listener hotline is 303-832-0217. And you can, if you wouldn't mind, rating the show and doing all that stuff, it would help me out a lot. One of the most stressful times in your life can be spent in an airport, especially after your flight has been delayed or even worse, canceled. And if you're traveling with young children, man, that can be very stressful. I've been there. I've seen it with other people. It's tough. Many of you have been there. What if you're a solo traveler? What if you're on the plane and you end up sitting there on the tarmac for hours only to get back to the gate and be told you're going to have to spend the night at the airport? Well, what about food? Do you get food from the airline? What about my luggage? How about setting me up with a hotel? You know, if you didn't know, you do have some limited rights with United States carriers, but you have a lot more rights with European carriers, and you might not know about your rights or how the airlines can compensate you for these disruptions. Joining me now to talk about your rights and how this service can help you is Eric Napoli. He's the Vice President of Legal Strategy and leader of the Tech and Innovation Team at AirHelp.com, AirHelp.com, AirHelp. Eric, thanks so much for being here on the world-famous Driving You Crazy podcast.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
All right, Eric. So I always start... saying that it's the world famous Driving You Crazy podcast because we do have listeners from around the world, and I'm speaking to you from Madrid, Spain, and I always like to ask guests from far off places like Madrid, Spain, what it's like to drive there. So what is it like to drive in Madrid?
Great question. So I'm from Maryland, and I've been living in Spain for now 20 years, and I was really lucky because when you live in a city like Madrid, you don't really need a car. So for my first 14 years in Spain, I had no car. And so I did my grocery shopping and walking down the street. I had no car. I lived kind of this very anti-American life, right? The life that we always did, you know, where you drive everywhere. And I got by without a car, and then I had kids and I needed a car. And so I guess, you know, one thing very positive about kind of American car culture, I would say, compared to Europe, especially compared to Spain, is that in the US, we've been driving for a really long time. Yeah. So we've been driving, you know, and the popularity of car is kind of like a mass transit. Everybody has their car is something that, you know, has been going on since the 40s and the 50s. So you have a very kind of civilized driving culture. So people aren't, you know, super aggressive driving, constantly passing each other. So in Europe, it's not quite that case. So you have to get used to, I guess, the fact that you leave any space between you and the car ahead of you, somebody's going to take that space from you. And you have to be very, very aware when you're changing lanes or you're driving. People are moving much quicker, and they always seem like they're late. So so I would say that's a big difference, kind of the awareness. And I don't know if it's aggressiveness, but it, you know, it's like walking down the sidewalk in New York City when you're driving a car in Europe, right? Somebody's always rushing to get in front of you.
That's interesting, because you think about some of these smaller towns, because I think the panacea for a lot of folks is to have European style towns in the United States and driving similar. Like I think Amsterdam is one of the places that people love to talk about because they have narrower roads and people drive slower and fewer people drive, more people are riding bikes, that sort of thing. Right. And so but you also have much lower populations in these places, and you'll have a town and then a rural area where you don't have a shopping center and shopping malls and those strip malls, that sort of stuff throughout Europe like you do in the United States. So it seems like it's completely different in that regard too.
Right. And you know, the fact of the matter is that you know, in the US you need a car to do almost anything because we don't have kind of walking cities or walk. A lot of us, you know, we live suburban, we live outside of a city, so you have to drive everywhere. Whereas here, it's not the case. For example, in most of Europe, you know, driving age is 18, and you don't have, and drinking age is 18, but probably kids can drink a little bit younger, and you don't have the same concern of your kids drinking and driving because kids just aren't driving, right? And if they're going to go out at night, they would take the bus or the metro or an Uber. So you don't really have young kids behind the wheel. You know, older people driving, you know, drinking, that's another issue. Yeah. But at least, you know, I don't have that same issue of, oh, my kids are going to get in a car with somebody who's been drinking, because it's not how people move around cities, et cetera.
Yeah, that's something obviously here in the United States, and I'm sure if you were back in Maryland, you would worry about that, because I have a 15-year-old daughter who's in high school, and I always tell her, be careful about the cars you get into. You'd never know what doing. Yeah, just be really careful.
Yeah. Right, and so there is that, you know, I look back now, I'm like, wow, you know, I have a 13-year-old, you know, can my 13-year-old actually in 2 or 3 years be driving? You know, they seem so young, just because here people are driving much later. But yeah, it's a different world. And in fact, getting a driver's license is very expensive. And the exams are really, really hard. And that's just, I think the difference is, you know, especially there's certain times of year where they make it incredibly difficult to get a driver's license because they don't want more people on the road in the summer. Yeah. Or again, in the U.S., if you don't have a driver's license, you know, you really have no way of kind of, you know, being able to get to work, et cetera. So the driving culture is very different, much more laid back, I would say, in the U.S., less stressful. Roads are straight.
Yeah.
You know. So I do miss every time I go back to the U.S. Like the first thing I want to do is, you know, get in the big American car. Right. I miss my big American car. So
there you go. Yeah. My guest is Eric DiPulli. He's the vice president of legal strategy, leader of the tech and innovation team at airhelp.com. And I want to talk more specifically about what you can do for travelers. But first, if you would, in its simplest form, what is airhelp.com?
Okay, so AirHelp, we're a company that started about 10 years ago, and the idea of the company was to help passengers when they suffer disruption or flight cancellation, and taking advantage of kind of the rights that passengers had. And in fact, when we started the company, we were really looking at, you know, we started as an American company, but in the U.S., you really don't have very many protections at all. We will talk about that a little bit later. In Europe, you have a law that's now just turning 20, that affords passengers up to about $700 when a flight has been delayed by more than 3 hours and the cause is within the control of the airline. So within the control of the airline would mean that, you know, it's not weather or, you know, air traffic, something like that. And so we've built a business model around, you know, being able to look at all available, you know, air traffic data. And if you have a delayed flight and you come to us, we're able to almost instantaneously tell you whether or not your flight would actually entitle you to some money. And then we go to the airline and we say, hey, look, you know, Jason has a delayed flight, you owe him this money. And hopefully they pay you. And if they don't, you know, we go back to them again and we say, are you sure? And then, you know, we have lawyers around to be able to help. And then we have some other services as well to help give passengers some relief, you know, at the airport, giving them lounge access, et cetera, when they have a delayed flight.
So it sounds like we have different rights as a passenger from the United States compared to Europe. So explain what rights do passengers have? What are we supposed to be provided? And we'll start with the United States. What are we supposed to be provided when, let's say, a flight is delayed or canceled?
So, you know, right now, very little in the U.S. If you have a domestic flight within the United States. Now, if you have a flight, you know, you're flying from, you know, Denver to London. If you're flying on a European carrier, you are protected by the European law. If you're flying on a U.S. carrier, you're protected by the European law only when you fly back. And again, what the European law would say is that if your flight arrives 3 hours or more late, you're entitled to compensation of up to $700, more or less. If it's canceled within 14 days as well, the airlines have an obligation to also try to fit you on the, you know, place you on the next best available flight, etc. Right now in the U.S., again, you don't have that much. You do have, if you get bumped, right? So if they've overbooked, then yes, you have rights to to come to a certain amount of compensation. You have right to be put on another flight, et cetera. But for everything else, it's very limited. Now, airlines do have to offer passengers some general care, right? But generally right now, it's really out of kind of like the good-heartedness of airlines and airlines trying to, you know, in theory, compete with each other on offering kind of good assistance. There's a Montreal Convention, which is a convention about international flights, things like lost luggage and expenses. And that, of course, would only apply, again, if you're flying, say, to Canada or to Mexico or Europe. You would get certain rights for cancellation. Now, on our website, you can go through, we have kind of like the, you know, guides to each country and what it is and specifically the numbers. But currently, you know, the U.S. isn't the best example of kind of affording air travelers much.
And even with this flight is overbooked, and then they start asking for passengers to volunteer, and then they'll give them I remember I did that one time. That was years ago, where they gave you obviously the next flight, but also they gave me a hotel and they gave me a credit for another flight, a future flight. So, but it seems like the airlines are pretty good about hiding that information and not sharing it with the passengers. And maybe that is also one of the problems here.
So yeah, like a definite problem is that travelers don't know their rights. They might think they have some rights. They often don't have all the information. Airlines aren't very forthcoming with what your rights are. Even in Europe, where you have this kind of better laws, or in the UK, where you have better laws, the airlines can often make it difficult for you, right? To, you know, you got to go into their kind of the web, the labyrinth of their customer care and whatever, and ask, and they ask you questions, and it takes a really long time. And they know that the more questions they ask, the more likely you're going to lose interest and not keep pursuing it. And so, yeah, there's a problem with people not understanding, and it's to the airline's benefit. I think it's to the airline's benefit most likely in the short term, right? Because in the long term, you know, at least airlines that try to say that they're, you know, that they're kind of customer centric, you know, people learn, and you do start flying to the extent that you can, right? I mean, if you're in Denver, for example, you might have a limited number of ways you can get to where you want to go, yeah, right? And therefore, maybe you don't really have choice between saying, hey, every time I fly American, they treat me great. When I fly Delta, they treat me horribly, or vice versa, or Southwest. Maybe your only choice is Southwest, yeah, and American. So you don't have that choice. But we would hope that over time, airlines will see that it's in their best interest to give a little bit more, or kind of suffer the, you know, currently, if you've been following, there is political pressure now by the current administration to get airlines to do something, with the threat of them passing legislation that's similar to Europe's, right? So, you know, kind of, you know, airlines in the world, either I kind of can show the regulator, right, the Department of Transportation, the FAA, that I'm helping, or I might end up getting a law like they have in Europe, which, yeah, you know, they, you know, no one in the industry ever wants a regulation. They get it, then they live with it, and we all do fine. But, you know, they'll resist if they can.
Yeah, they'd prefer just to do whatever they want to do for now.
Exactly. Which is pretty much what they do, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. My guest is Eric Napoli. He's the Vice President of Legal Strategy, the leader of the tech and innovation team at airhelp.com. We're talking about airline compensation for delayed travelers and other issues with the airline. So let's say I'm waiting at the gate, and the airline, and I'm on United or American, Delta, whatever, it doesn't matter, because I'm never going to fly Spirit, so we're not going to say them. But so let's say I'm over there, and the airline says, hey, we're going to be delayed 2 hours or 4 hours. What do I do then? Is that just I have to go back to the airport bar and have another drink and just hang out? Or is there some kind of compensation I can get that now we're 4 hours delayed? Do I ask for anything at that point, or do I have to wait for it to get worse, like the flight is canceled?
Yeah, so right now, again, there's very little that you can do. What you can do is, you know, like some basic like pre-flight things, right? So you kind of come prepared. Fortunately, if you're traveling with a kid, you know, I've learned, I have three children, I've learned that, you know, change of clothes, a couple of changes of clothes, some extra food, extra diapers, stay relaxed. What tends to happen is that people will crowd around, you know, the poor, you know, the poor attendant, right? The customer service person
at
or
the
person
gate,
at
right?
the gate. And they'll scream and yell, and those people have no information whatsoever. So, you know, it doesn't really help to take it out on anybody. You can ask, I mean, what some airlines will do is, you know, based on their own policies, is they will offer you food vouchers, drink vouchers. You do have to be careful that if you're too far away from the gate, you know, things can shift. Yeah. So you might not know, you probably don't know why there's a delay, but there could be a delay. For example, the airline has a slight delay, they missed their slot, and, you know, their slot to take off, and maybe the pilots are actually kind of on the phone with air traffic, with the tower, you know, trying to negotiate an earlier slot. So they could tell you it's going to be an hour, and it might be half an hour. So you want to somewhat stay close to the gate and not miss your flight. But I would generally, you know, you can ask. After a certain point, airlines will voluntarily, you know, give you some, will give you, you know, some food vouchers, et cetera. But right away, there's not much you can do. You can be very, you know, you can try to think quick on your feet and think, you know, is there another flight I can take? Can I reserve something else?
Yeah, but there's really nothing. There's no compensation that they will give me. So that is not necessarily something that you would be able to help with on that kind of a case basis, right?
No. So what we do have a service that our customers can buy, like an annual subscription. And, you know, one of the things we will give them is kind of 24-hour, you know, chat where we can give you some information. So you might be stuck in Indonesia, and there, you know, you can call our chat line and we'll tell you kind of what your rights are in Indonesia and, you know, what you can or cannot do, you know, to help give you some advice at that time. We do have a service that if your flight is delayed by an hour or more, you get access to the lounge.
Is that in Indonesia or in Indianapolis?
I mean, our service. Yeah, you would get it in Indianapolis as well. We have that service that we provide.
Okay.
It's not something that's given to you by law. So yeah, you're somewhat limited and somewhat kind of, you know, at the kind of, you know, waiting for fate to take care of you, right?
So you're
this is
there.
Again, if you're in the U.S.
Yeah, know. So you're there at that time, at that moment when I might need help. I don't have to wait till I get home from my trip to then contact you and then get compensation after that.
Exactly. So this is like real-time advice. Now, what could happen is you get home and then you can, you know, you can go to our website, enter your flight data, and we'll let you know whether or not you're entitled to compensation, and then we work with you and we provide you compensation. Again, that will be for flights where basically international flights where you have rights. Right now in the U.S., unfortunately, we don't have much. Now that's changing around the world. I mean, so Europe has its law, which also applied to the U.K. prior to Brexit. After Brexit, they've adopted basically the same law. Canada has, on paper, a very good law, but it doesn't really work in practice because ultimately the airline has kind of a catch-all out for everything. And they're revisiting this because people are very upset in Canada that, you know, the law isn't working. So hopefully there'll be a change there. Saudi Arabia, of all places, right? They've suddenly decided that they want lots of tourists. They want to kind of compete with their neighbors in Dubai, and they've just passed a law very similar to the European one, with kind of the recognition that that's something that would really help to improve their travel industry. And Australia is also kind of discussing one. So there is a shift towards affording passengers more rights. And I would guess some of this also has to do with the fact, which I think we've all lived through, is, you know, during the pandemic and after the pandemic, we just want to get like the heck out of our house, right? We want to get back in the air. We want to travel. And people have been very frustrated because of all the delays and everything that's happened since then. And so, you know, rightfully so, passengers, you know, citizens, residents were all kind of screaming and yelling. And, you know, the governments have kind of said, well, actually, you know, maybe we could do something. And in fact, people who travel the most tend to be like our congressmen and senators, right? Yeah. And they're the ones who suffer just as much. So it's not really necessarily a red and a blue issue because they all, right? They all suffer the delays, probably more than us because they're flying back and forth all the time.
Right. Yeah, I think the Saudi Arabia issue is maybe they want a lot of folks to come to see Ronaldo. Who's
exactly
right? Maybe that's it.
I mean, it's, you know, kind of as an aside, I mean, it's really remarkable if you think like the velocity of change that they're doing. They're spending vast amount of money to get all of these, you know, superstar soccer players, and now they're investing in like
the golf tournament, right?
Yeah, the golf tournament, the airports. Etc. They're sponsoring soccer teams in, you know, throughout, you know, Europe. And they're investing a lot in travel, trying to get people to fly through Saudi Arabia. That before was something they never did.
Right? My guest is Eric Napoli. He's the vice president of legal strategy over at airhelp.com. You can find them at airhelp.com and look at their services there. We'll talk more about that in just a second. I'm sure as we've talked a little bit about, there has to be some sort of legislation that's already been drafted that maybe is floating around Congress right now in the United States that probably hasn't made its way out of committee. Is there a way to push it forward? You said better than anybody, the Congress people know because they have been delayed and they know what it's like to fly almost on a weekly basis. So why wouldn't they take some kind of time to make a good legislation and then push it through the full body?
I mean, right. I mean, there's lots of kind of good laws that never happen for, you know, all the wrong reasons. Right. Yeah. But I think not this past Christmas, the previous holiday season, if you recall, there were lots of kind of travel-related issues. Southwest had an issue. There was a technical issue with the communication system between pilots and ground staff. People had a really horrible kind of Thanksgiving and Christmas. And, you know, Pete Buttigieg, you know, Mayor Pete was yep. is the head of Department of Transportation. And he took a lot of heat, obviously, from Republicans. And, you know, Democrats don't want him to look bad. And so there's a lot of pressure. And so the Biden administration, as well as the Secretary of Transportation, made some statements prior to summer of last year, saying that they wanted to, you know, to improve air traffic, and that they were going to create some new rules that included compensation. Now, all of that is, you know, as you said, that gets caught up in committees, and we are, my company, we're monitoring that. We're offering ourselves kind of our expertise. If people have questions, to, you know, if they're going to pass a law, let it be a good law, not kind of the one in Canada that in practice doesn't work. And so we're waiting to see. There's the FAA reauthorization keeps getting extended and extended, and there were other issues that were tying that up, issues that weren't related to necessarily to passenger protection. These were related to, you know, slots into DCA, so into Ronald Reagan National Airport in DC. It had to do with, you know, pilot training hours, things like that. And so they've said that, you know, at least the version now, they've said that passengers should at least be entitled to cash refunds for canceled flights. I mean, imagine that. You can't even get a cash refund when the airlines canceled your flight, right? You don't get your money back. They give you like a voucher so you can buy again in the airline store, but you wouldn't get your money back.
And it's only good for a certain amount of time. It's not good forever.
Exactly. So there were those issues. And, you know, hopefully there will be amendments and there will be some other ways where the Department of Transportation will have some rulemaking power in order to kind of modernize our, you know, the way we travel, because in fact people are traveling more than ever in the US and around the world, and it becomes more important to our lives, right? So hopefully we'll see some change. I'm optimistic, but we'll see. We have an election coming up, and that makes people do crazy things, both for good and for bad. So we'll see how it's handled.
And promise crazy things too. And I'm sure there's some astronomical number or figure that probably illustrates how much flight disruptions cost travelers every day. It's got to be a crazy high number.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I had. We actually did a study on this, and I don't have the number right in front of me, but flight disruption has a massive cost impact, and the impact isn't just on the passenger; it's also on the airlines, right? And then on all the local economies. So imagine, for example, you had, I don't know, a big concert in Denver, or you know, a major sporting event, and you have, you know, flight, you know, you have whatever the
the Super Bowl to Las Vegas.
Super Bowl to Las Vegas, and you have, you know, it could be a technical glitch at the air, at the airport, whatever, and you have those flights being canceled. You have all these people who can't get there, mm-hmm. and then not being able to get there means that all of those restaurant reservations, et cetera, all of that stuff is canceled, and it makes a, you know, it makes a huge impact. And I was at an airport, and there was a bunch of, we had like a 3-hour delay, and there were some young people younger than me next to me. There was a big concert in Madrid, big rock concert that all the young people go to. And they were so excited to go, and there was this delay, and they all started to panic. And I was like, oh, you know, the flight will be a few hours late. And there was a young woman who's like, yeah, but I don't know the city. I don't want to arrive there after midnight. You know, I only have money, you know, to get like in the town, you know, on the metro to the hotel. I don't want to have to walk or take a cab. I don't have money for the cab. You know, what do I do? Right. And you see, like, if you have a lot of money, you know, maybe a delay doesn't have a huge impact on you. You can buy another. And then you have other people saying, well, I've saved up for 6 months and I want to see the concert tonight. Right. And I didn't have the vacation days to be able to, you know, take the trip 2 days before. You know, because one thing you can do, you know, you recommend, you have a big wedding this weekend to go to, you know, give yourself some slack, you know, slack time. Like, yeah. Don't arrive Saturday morning, arrive Thursday night, you know, give yourself some time just in case. But not everybody can afford the extra hotel nights or to take the vacation time. So you end up seeing the impact on people, especially people who don't necessarily have lots of cash, right? You buy the cheap ticket because it's the only one you can afford. And when you're, you know, your super cheap, you know, airline, you know, they have a cancellation. They don't have another flight to put you on. So you end up losing 2 or 3 days. And can people afford to pay for their hotel for 2 or 3 days or to miss the vacation day? So yeah, it's rough.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I was just, you were mentioning that. And I was thinking immediately, because I like to go on cruises, I always go a day before. Because if there is a flight problem, then you're not flying in the same day as your cruise. And if you miss it, you miss it. The boat's gone. They're not hanging out waiting for you.
Right. And so, and imagine your luggage gets delayed, right?
Yeah.
Now you arrive. Now you're out of pocket because you have to buy everything, all the clothes for your cruise. And I can tell you on the cruise ship, the t-shirt or the shirt you want to buy, it's not going to be cheap,
no.
Right? And the airline's not going to tell you, okay, I'm going to pay for, you know, the price you had. They're going to say, oh, that's pretty expensive. I'll only pay you, you know, whatever. So they're going to nickel and dime you on your expenses. So that's pretty rough. And so, yeah, so the impact is just, you know, it's just incredible. It's just incredible.
My guest is Eric Napoli. He's the Vice President of Legal Strategy at AirHelp.com. We're talking about their service, how they can help you. And there is a cost to your service, right? So what is the cost? And if I'm an American traveler, since there's really not much compensation that I can get, is it worth it to sign up for your service? Or is it or more for a European audience?
So actually, we have... I don't know the number right now, but say 10% of our customers are Americans, people who live in the U.S. because Americans are traveling to Europe, you know, every day and in larger numbers, especially since the pandemic. You're seeing the number of U.S. travelers to the U.S. pretty high. So if you're an American who's traveling to Europe, I mean, obviously, I definitely recommend our service, both kind of the one-off. So one-off would be you have delay, you go to our website, you give us your information, we tell you, hey, look, you know, we believe it's eligible, we can get your money, and if we're successful, we take, you know, we take a percentage of that, mm-hmm. you know, roughly 35%, and then we also have kind of subscription base. So that's, you know, say you pay a year. And in that subscription service, we offer you, so all of the flights you have that year, if any of those are delayed, we will, you know, and they're eligible, you know, you don't pay our service fee. We also have things like, you know, if you have an hour, if your flight is an hour delayed for whatever reason, you know, we hook you up with a lounge in the airport. You might not be able to use that lounge at that moment, just, you know, because your flight's an hour and 15 minutes delayed, you don't have time. Well, you get a voucher that's for lounge service, that's for 3 months. And then we have some other kind of cool services, which would be, you know, kind of additional protection. So if your luggage doesn't arrive with you for whatever reason, you get a payout. Even if you don't have protection, even if your flight isn't covered by law, we would give you a payout if your flight is delayed by three hours. I think it's $100. So we do have other services. And as I mentioned, the 24-hour chat. So, I mean, definitely if you're traveling to Europe frequently, or even once a year, you know, I would check us out.
Yeah, because it's interesting when you said 35%, I was looking at the figures. And so let's say you were able to get me for, because I'm flying in Europe, $650, it would be 35% of that would be about $200 or so. So that would, I'd be, or you would take $200 and I would get the rest. And I think that would be worth it. But as you said, the yearly service, it's only $27 a year. So if I'm flying even more than a half a dozen, even maybe two or three or four times, if I'm a business traveler, I would definitely sign up for that. $27 is a couple of beers at the airport. So why wouldn't you, want to use that service, especially if you're getting me compensation that costs me a lot less, and then you can represent me if I even need that.
Exactly. I mean, this is what was the commercial, the Hair Club for Men, where the guy says, you know, he uses it also. But I mean, the way I discovered the company was actually my family. We had a flight to Miami with me, with like my three kids and my wife. That was 5 hour delay. We went to the airport. We came back home, whatever. And I ended up finding about the service. And I think, you know, between five people, we ended up getting money back that actually cost, you know, that covered actually our entire flight. So that was pretty exciting. And that's when I learned about the company and then later started working with them. So yeah, it does make sense. And then I think it makes sense, you know, we don't know about our rights. It's important to kind of to learn about them and then to, you know, keep the airlines honest, you know, because ultimately it benefits all of us, right?
Yeah, exactly. You also offer travel insurance, and a lot of people that take big trips, whether it's a cruise or like in my case, when I went to Europe, you want to use the trip insurance because you are paying so much for these adventures and for these vacations. So how does that work? Because I think you offer travel insurance separately from your other services. So how does that work, and how is it separate from your flight disruption service that you help with?
Right. So no, this is what I explained is that, so in our kind of annual subscription service, we have, when you buy that service, you also have, you know, a certain number of trips that would be covered by what you would call this kind of insurance. So, yeah. You know, you want to fly Denver to Miami to take that cruise. You can either buy kind of the one-off, or you can buy kind of the annual. We have both. And in that, we call it AirHelp Plus Complete. You know, before you fly, the day before, you add your flight details. And if you have luggage, your luggage would be covered up to, I think it's about $100. So if you arrive and your suitcase is late, we will, you know, just pay you $100. You can still claim your losses from the airline, and we'll help you claim your losses from the airline, but at least you get it right away. And the same thing, your flight is delayed by more than 3 hours. You have this service. We've basically insured it. So we give you upfront $100, and there you get some money in your pocket to be able to cover your expenses. And then separately, you know, we'll bring a claim if your claim is entitled to it, if you're entitled to the claim. But really, one of the issues we have, I don't know about you, and I'm a lawyer, right? I go to buy the, you know, you get the, you know, you buy from the airline your ticket, and it says, would you like this insured? And you read that insurance policy and you have no idea what it means. And you think you're insured, but then actually there's like 1,000 caveats about why you're not. And so what we've tried to develop is something where, you know, if your flight is delayed for whatever reason by 3 hours, we're not going to ask. We just want to know, it's you who flew, you had the ticket, your flight was, we know whether it's delayed or not, here's your money. And the same thing with luggage. Like, you know, you're going to, you know, the airline, they want to know the complete inventory of everything, the cost, all that stuff, and it can take forever. But maybe what you need is just $100 right away. So, if, you know, you can tell us, you can show us that you're, you know, you took the flight, you have the luggage ticket. You checked it in. It didn't arrive. Then here's some money, right? As opposed to kind of the other insurance packages you buy where there's thousands of kind of fine print caveat stuff that you never get it, right?
Right. And I would be able to keep that money even, at, let's say they got my luggage a couple hours later, but I would still be able to keep that money that...
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Good.
Exactly. Exactly. It doesn't. Yeah. It's not discounted from what you would make later on.
Yeah. What is the difference between that type of insurance that you offer and the insurance that, let's say, I get by buying my fare on the airline with American Express, because they offer a separate because a lot of credit cards do that. They offer a travel right. insurance for bags or for the flight or that sort of thing. So how is that different?
You'd have to look at kind of each policy. It would be, I don't know exactly, like it could be you're insured for cancellation, you know, refund, and then, you know, you would then have to show was your flight canceled, et cetera. And it might take a little bit longer, et cetera, to get your money from the insurance. I mean, it is a good point that a lot of people don't realize that when they buy things with their credit card, that in fact, they do have some insurance, right? And they can actually try to exercise and go to insurance companies. I mean, insurance companies are you know, pretty famous for finding ways not to pay out. And so what's really different about ours, it's parametric. So you meet the parameters, you get paid. It's very simple. You know, it's not a huge amount of money, you know, $100, yeah. but it's something, and it's, you know, it's relatively quick.
Right. That's why I buy, because I have an American Express card, and that's what I buy all my airline tickets with, because they do have specialized insurances that I've used in the past that has helped me in the past. Yeah, and it's worked out. And you said you could sign up the day before my flight, so I could buy all my flights and be ready to go, and then if I want your service, I could just, boom, buy it right the day before?
Yeah, exactly. Well, but so with the way our subscription works is that, you know, you buy your annual subscription and you can do one, you know, the day before, et cetera. But, you know, you buy the subscription, and when you want to insure, so we know that you actually have a flight, you know, prior to flying, you upload basically your flight details into our kind of web app. And there we know, okay, you're flying today from Denver to London. And on this flight, and you have suitcase, great. Your suitcase is covered by the insurance. And also we know that if your flight, you know, if we see your flight's an hour delayed, you're sitting at the airport, you know, you'll get a message saying, you know, your flight's delayed. Here's a voucher for a lounge.
I have you heard from passengers that you have helped? Have you heard some wild stories that, you know, maybe appreciative stories that they are like, thank goodness for your service because you bailed me out and it saved our vacation?
I mean, definitely. We always get kind of the happy stories. We do get, you know, some people who will complain, and they'll be like, you know, it's been 3 months, you know, and I haven't got my compensation for my delayed flight yet. And we're like, yeah, but, you know, we're going to the airline, like the airlines take some time. So, you know, and the airlines are refusing, and we're fighting for the airlines, you know, we're fighting with the airlines, be patient, you know, we'll get you your money. But yeah, in general, people, we have lots of kind of happy stories. We were flying back from San Francisco this summer, and you know, we had a delayed flight. Actually, on the way there through Dallas, we had a delay. And I used the vouchers, five of us in our family. So I had five vouchers on the way back. We got to the airport super early. I sat with my kids and they were like, you know, they were like vultures in the lounge, right?
Yes,
and one of my kids looked at me. He's like,
my kids are.
My son's like, Dad, I'm so happy you work for AirHelp and we got this lounge voucher. And so I did have a very happy child.
Yeah.
I felt, you know, very proud that my son got his whatever. He got to drink some soda before his flight. Definitely. And then we have lots of, you know, one of the things we try to do as well is to, at least when I try to go to, you know, to Washington, D.C. and talk to different politicians, you know, I'm not telling them to pass laws. What I'm trying to do is explain to them, like, these are the stories of passengers. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, you know, if you go to the different forums where, you know, airline issues are being discussed, whether it's IATA, which is the international body that governs aviation. You just don't have anybody who's representing the voice of passengers. Mm-hmm. So people talk about, you know, and running airlines, you know, incredibly complex. You got, you know, pilots and, you know, you have complaining passengers, you have weather issues, you have, you know, lots of different unions and air traffic control and all of this stuff, right? But nobody, you know, nobody kind of looks at, okay, well, actually, what's the experience of a traveler? And, you know, travel is so, so stressful for a thousand different reasons, right? You know, why you want to go, you know, the lines you get, security lines, you know, not knowing what's going to happen, not knowing if you're going to have a delay and why the delay is, and then just general, you know, you're really high up in the sky in this box, right? A lot of people are just scared to fly, right? So there's so much stress around travel, and it seems like, you know, there's not that much done to kind of help us kind of alleviate that stress, right? So we're hoping to help be somewhat of that voice, and hopefully to be to our subscription model, which I said is called AirHelp Plus, to be able to add more services that can help people, you know, when they get to the airport and they start freaking out.
Yeah. Right? So if travelers do want some more information about your services, they can just go to airhelp.com.
Yep. Come to airhelp.com. And we have, like I said, we have an international air passenger rights guide that tells you, you know, basically gives you a summary in each different country, what your rights are. You can, you know, you can play a little bit with, you know, your flights and see what we can do for you. Again, in the U.S. for domestic flights, we have a service we call a goodwill service where we'll go to airlines and we'll be like, hey, you know, this guy just had a 9-hour delay, you know, please help him out. And sometimes they say yes, sometimes they say no, right? Which is important, because if they have to say yes, they'll say yes, right? And I'll say, you know, the U.S. carriers work with us incredibly well when they're flying to Europe. So I get, you know, I don't get the kind of pushback from American Airlines or, you know, Delta, et cetera, for flights that they have coming from Europe that I might get from, you know, airlines in Europe. So, you know, they tend to be very well, you know, work with us very well on international flights. So, you know, if there was a regulation, they would, you know, they would play ball.
Yeah, so. Right. Well, it's been a fascinating conversation. Eric Napoli, the Vice President of Legal Strategy and leader of the tech and innovation team there at airhelp.com. Thanks so much for your time and your insight, and best of luck with the business. I think it's a good idea for a lot of folks, especially doing big trips like to Europe or whatever. So, hey, thanks again for your time.
My pleasure. We always say AirHelp, we're here to help.
Perfect. And again, you can find them at airhelp.com. It's interesting looking through their website and all the different services that they do offer. And I do wish there were more passenger rights, because there's always been talk about a passenger bill of rights in Congress, and it's just sitting there in Congress and not going anywhere. And like we talked about, it's maybe time for the United States to get on board. But of course, there's going to be a lot of lobbying by the major airlines, and there's a lot of money, I'm sure, flying around Congress. No pun intended, or I guess the pun wasn't intended, but there it is. But money flying around Congress from the airline industry to not be regulated. Why would they want to be regulated? Why would they want to have to give out $200 or $300 or $600 to passengers who are either delayed or canceled? And then does that play into, let's say the flight is going to be canceled because of a mechanical issue or something? Does the airline then fudge what they're talking about? You know, how they're reporting this, or do they maybe push through some kind of a mechanical issue because they don't want to pay 200 people several hundred dollars each? And that would cost them a lot of money. And then does that, any regulation, raise our overall airfares? Because they're not going to pay for it. They're going to make us pay for a pool of money that then is used for these disruptions, flight cancellations or delays or issues with the bags. They're, you know, it's the company. It's so funny because people think that the companies are actually paying taxes. We're not. We're paying their taxes because they'll just raise the rates on whatever you buy, whether it's a can of Pringles or an airline ticket. They're going to raise their price. So they are. We are paying the taxes. Whatever the taxes are raised on a company or corporation. I mean, seriously. Anyway, it's an interesting concept. I do wish there was more compensation here, but they can help you if you are a frequent traveler, and there are a lot of frequent flyers and frequent travelers, and if you're traveling, there are a lot of direct flights to Europe from the United States, obviously, and even some here from Denver, where I am. One of them is that one that goes to London and back, and others are, I think Icelandic Air is going to start flying here very soon. There you go. Airhelp.com is that website. Anyway, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, anything, you can always give reach out to me and get a hold of me on my contact links that are in the description of this show. Thanks again for being here. Thanks for listening. Until next time, I'm Jason Luber, the traffic guy. Be safe, and as always, happy motoring.